Thank you all for coming again.
Got a few minutes left. If we could turn in our Bibles to Acts, Acts chapter 26. Again, thank you all for coming out. If this is your first time, this is every Sunday at 7 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. And we'd love to have you come back. This is, if you've never heard this message before, it probably seems strange why we're reading from a book that's very highly critiqued in the world and it was written so long ago. But we preach from it because it's the truth. It's God's word. And a lot of people would criticize that. I'm not one that could debate that. I'm not smart enough. But I know this is truth, and that's why I'm up here. I have a lot to do in my life, like many others, and but it's important to take this time. I could be doing a lot of other things. I got an old house that I'm tearing down. I could be spending time doing that. But this is way more important because this is about your soul. Whether you believe it or not tonight, you do have a soul. And God's word says there's two destinations, either heaven or hell. And that's why we're preaching to you tonight about this, because we're born in sin, shaping in iniquity, it says. There can be no sin in heaven, absolutely none. God is perfect. He created this world perfect. And he wants you to be with him tonight in heaven, but he can't have sin there. So tonight, the emphasis is to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. As Dean has already been preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 some odd years ago, as we've just celebrated with Christmas, lived a perfect life for 33 years-ish, and he was nailed to a cross. So the good news of salvation is what we're here proclaiming. So in your Bible, if you could turn to Acts chapter 26. And my thought tonight is on the accepted time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." We're not promised tomorrow. And there's two people that kind of came to mind. And we'll read the first one, Acts chapter 26. Oh, I got to get there. Too much talking. Acts chapter 26. And we'll read at verse number 1. Bit of reading here, but hopefully you stay awake. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul," this is King Agrippa, "thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of the religious, I lived a Pharisee." So to crunch that down, Paul was a Jew in one of the highest orders called the Pharisees, and he was looked upon as a pretty high-ranking dude in the Jews. We'll go over to verse 13, just a little farther down. "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among the which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works good for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. They were unhappy that he was preaching the good news of salvation. Verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said, this is another man that was with King Agrippa, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Are you crazy, he says? But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Is that you tonight? Are you thinking this is crazy what they're talking about? And if you've never heard it before, granted, that could be you, and I totally understand that. For a lot of us here, we were born and raised in this, and it's normal. But if you've never heard the gospel tonight, I could understand if you're thinking it's a little out there. It's not this way this Bible is, we read this, it's in Old English, so it might be a little hard to understand for even all of us. But I'd like you to just think about this. Give it a minute. It's truth. Verse 25, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'm going to read that again. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In essence, what Paul is saying, I would that you would believe, not almost, but understand and believe what Paul is saying. Believe what the Bible is saying tonight. Flip back a little bit to Acts chapter 8, a couple chapters back. So here we have Agrippa, who just heard the truth, who it says in that chapter, he was a knowledgeable man. He knew of the scriptures. He knew of the religion. And yet he says, almost. Almost. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? So again, to paraphrase this old English, he said, who's this scripture talking about? I don't understand. Like, is it talking about the writer or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth at verse 35 and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. So again, you have two contrasts. King Agrippa, who was knowledgeable, and yet he said, almost, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Then here you have this man who doesn't understand what he's reading. He doesn't get it. But Paul comes by the Spirit of the Lord and preaches to him Jesus. You know, that's what we're doing here tonight, or we're trying to do, Dean and I. We're trying to preach to you Jesus, not to sell you anything or to bring you closer to God by good works or coming together as a church. You'll never get to heaven. You know, salvation can seem so difficult. And before I was saved, there came a point where I wanted to be saved. I wanted to know my sins forgiven. I wanted to know that I'm going to heaven no matter what. And I couldn't get it. I believe in God. And I'm sure you here tonight believe in God. Like, yeah, okay, he's there. But do you believe that Jesus Christ on the cross paid for your sins? That's the difference between knowing God and knowing Jesus and believing in Jesus. I'm saved tonight because I have just left my sins, believed that Jesus on the cross, he paid for my sins. And when that verse says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, it's over here, that whosoever means you, that means me. That is as wild as it sounds, encompasses the whole earth. I'd like you to think about that for a second tonight. The love of God, all right, to pay for sins for the whole earth. Sins that it's not just if somebody, we've all had somebody do us wrong where somebody annoys you or comes and hits you. We all have siblings, I'm sure, maybe some of us don't, but have a cousin or something that really annoys you. It's not a little thing like that. We're not annoying to God. He hates sin because he created this world perfect. And Adam and Eve disobeyed and brought sin into this world. That's what sin is to God. You think maybe, well, God isn't very nice or righteous to not allow any sin. We don't understand the wickedness and dirtiness and evil of sin. From the smallest sin of stealing a little cookie, as it says, or to being a murderer. Sin is sin in God's sight, and we've all sinned. And the love of Jesus to come to this earth and pay for our sin. I'll just take a minute. This wasn't in my message, but if you've never heard about the crucifixion or Calvary or in the detail of that, the sorrow that the Lord Jesus Christ went through, you know, he lived a perfect life, absolutely perfect. He was sinless. He's God as man. He could not sin. It's not that he didn't want to. He could not. He healed so many people. Sick, there was a woman that had a disease of blood for many, many years. Touched her hem of his garment, was healed. Blind men could see. Lame people that couldn't walk could walk again. He showed so much care, compassion, and love. And you know, at Calvary, there was a hill outside Jerusalem called Calvary. And before they did that, they took him to the Romans. And the Roman soldiers loved to scourge people. And they'd take a whip, and in that whip, there'd be little bits of bone, steel, little things that would just catch your skin. And in the scripture, I think it's in Isaiah, it talks about his back being a plowed field. A lot of us have seen the plowed fields, how it takes that soil and turns it over. That's what his back was like. Complete raw. A lot of people cannot survive a scourging. But after that, they made him carry his own cross through town, out to Calvary. And they would lay that cross on the ground, and Jesus would willingly, they didn't have to fight him. He would lay down on that cross, put his hands out. He'd allow them to hit that nail through his hands, through his feet, lift that cross up, put it in its socket. And all those people Some that would have seen his miracles, would have seen the love that he showed others, were mocking him. And before he left town, he would spit in his face. They would spit in his face. He had a beard, tore it from his face. Sometimes I get little pimples on my lip and I got to pick a hair out. My goodness, does it hurt? But I couldn't imagine my beard being ripped from my face, the pain. And when he was hung up on that cross, he looked upon those people that were mocking him. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do." If you've never heard of love like that, granted, because you'll never hear of it again. There's a lot of stories in our world of people that do good. One thing comes to mind, this young man who went down a well to save an infant, pull them back up. That's tremendous. That's courage. But you will never experience a love in this world that would pay for your sin, for an eternity's worth of sin, apart from God. That's Jesus Christ. That's who we're presenting to you tonight. The love of Jesus Christ, that he died for you. And like I said, that verse over there, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That applies to you. Now, I'm way off course here. I'm sorry. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with this knowledge? You know, in our lives, in work, so I'm a carpenter, I'd say every day, hopefully, I learn something new, just a little bit. And with that knowledge, I build on my skills, on trying to be a better carpenter, to make a better home. Every day, learn something and build. What kind of carpenter or even person would I be if I learned something and then said, "I'm not going to do that. I know it's good. I know it's an improvement. I'm not going to do that." Does that make sense? To me, it doesn't. Tonight, you've been presented with the greatest truth you'll ever hear. No, we're not giving out $1 million, as awesome as that would be. That would do nothing for you. That would do a lot for you on this earth. But in perspective of your soul and for eternity, because that is real, eternity is real, $1 million does nothing. Last time I was up here preaching, the thought came to my mind. I got a good, some people are going to laugh at me. I got a really good deal on screws at Kent. A lot of screws. And I told a lot of people about that. "Hey, you want some screws? They're on sale. Go get them." Got my father-in-law some. Saving money. I might have saved $100. And I told people. I don't, in my life, tell very many people about heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they can know their sins forgiven. If I took the reality of how serious your soul is tonight, I would be out there yelling, proclaiming, "Hey, Jesus died for you. You need to be saved." That's the reality of tonight. Your soul is real, and God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die for you. And it's so simple. It's so simple that it's hard. You ever have those things? You ever have a math question where you just like, it's right there. 2 plus 2 is always going to equal 4, but yeah, something harder than that. Algebra or something. I was terrible at that. But you'd work, and finally, your answer matched the back of the book without going to the back of the book to find it out. That's salvation, because it is so simple that it's difficult. I was saved through a verse in John 3:36. I quote this probably every time I'm up here. Whoever believes on the Son has everlasting life. This is God's word. Not the Thompson chain, not this. But the Bible, the scriptures, is God's word. He wrote this. God cannot lie. And in this, in the Bible, he says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's his requirement for salvation. Just the same as you believe that when you push on that door, it's going to open. You don't think about that. I believe it's going to happen. That's salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is God. That is all God's asking you. So, I got one more thing to tell you. And maybe this is a practical reference, and I thought about this, and it cost me money, so I'm going to tell the story. This right here is a hunting license from Nova Scotia. I like to hunt, and if you don't like to hunt, or you think killing animals is sad, maybe, but they taste good, and I hope I don't offend you. I went over to Nova Scotia this year. It cost me $161. I got the receipt right here. No, I don't. It fell out. No, I do. It's right there. $161.43 to get a tag. And you say that's expensive. Yes, it is. Meat is not cheap. I went over there to get a deer. And I got there Friday morning. Brent Cottrell is my friend that I hunt with. And he's got a nice deer stand there. It looks over a nice swamp-ish. And there's some nice hardwood. Lots of deer there. Last year, me and Lydia got one. I'm sitting in the stand. Beautiful, beautiful evening. Nice and cool. I got my foam under me. There's three windows. I'm sitting there. Quiet. Then I hear a little crunch a little later on. I turn around and there's a doe, a female deer, behind me. I'm going to get my deer. So I get down and I got my rifle and I watch her. And I watch her and she stops. And she's only from, like, me and Teresa away, the back of the hall. And I'm looking at her. And my sight's right on her. All I needed to do was pull the trigger. I thought, there's lots of deer around. I think I'll wait for a male deer. The male deer, the bucks, they got antlers. And I like that. Because sometimes I make knives, so maybe I'll use that. Or it's nice to have something on the wall. I let it go. Lots of deer around. Oh, I'm here for 2 days. Go out tomorrow. Went out in the morning. Nothing. Went out in the evening. Starting to get a little fidgety. It's 4 o'clock. The sun's starting to go down. Only got about a half hour left. Nothing. I didn't get a deer. You may think, what in the world does that have to do with a gospel message and salvation? This was paid in full. I paid it. I could take the opportunity to fill my tag. I didn't. Because I thought I'd have another one. Thought I had another opportunity. I didn't. Tonight in our world, tonight right now, in this assembly, this building, the likelihood of you having another opportunity for salvation, yeah, it's there. The likelihood of you not is just as equal. It looks like in our world that life is good. Life goes on. You know, I go to work every day. I wake up. Yeah, maybe a sore back. Gonna have some breakfast. Go to work. Come home. Rinse, repeat. Rinse, repeat with a few little oddities put in there. You come here every Sunday night maybe, or this is your first time. We hope you come back. Life becomes a cycle. And you pay no attention to your soul. That cycle is going to end, whether it's your life or the Lord returns, because that is evident. The Bible speaks of what this world is going to be like before He returns. And if you get reading into Revelation and Daniel, it's very serious. So, my thought for tonight, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God just wants you to accept His Son as your Savior, to believe Him. And on my last point, I guarantee I'm done. If you've never talked to God before, you think that's some big thing, it is not. Everyone can pray to God. You think, oh, I don't know the right words to say. I've been there. Oh, okay, sorry. Last story. This is what came to mind about praying to God. When I was 5, we went boating. But boating a lot. And not like you get around here. We had like 17-foot boats, whatever, lots of lakes. We were at a Kettle Point. I was with my dad, and we come ripping around this point. And all of a sudden, Dad missed the marker, and it was about a foot deep. And God cried out, Lord, help me! And me at 5 said, He can't hear you. And Dad said, yes, he can. That short prayer, two words, Lord, help me. God hears that. If you tonight never talk to God, say, Lord, help me. God, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm not telling you a prayer to pray to get saved, but you can speak to God. And we'll do that right now. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation through his sacrifice at Calvary. And just pray that those here tonight that aren't saved, that don't know that Jesus died for them, that don't believe that, pray that they would understand that it's a simple trusting faith, that just Jesus did die for me. Pray that you would be honored and glorified from tonight's messages from Dean and myself, and that souls would be saved. As we would sing a hymn, just ask your blessing as we travel home. And thank you again for the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen.